Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. We're jumping back in to the show with a little music from Aerosmith. No, that's not Aerosmith. That's from Van Halen. What's wrong with me? I know that who that is. Van Halen, jumping us back. David bringing us back in. 12 after. I think I said that. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with us because we got our good friend Joan Pride with us. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we got a lot of stuff. Got to put our track shoes on today. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. A lot of different topics that are really important. Some issues that are that are part of your world right now, part of your marketplace, and can't think of anybody who's better prepared to deliver this information than our good friend Joan Pride. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Happy to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
I'd like to do something right now, and you didn't know I was going to do this,
but
your mother Mary,
yes,
is recovering from some difficulty. Tell us again how old she is.
She will be 88 next month.
She's, yes, a lovely lady.
Yes, she
ladies
is.
Ladies and gentlemen, and a fighter if there ever was one. Tough as a pine knot,
yes,
and a resilient spirit, and she is having some difficulty right now, trying to recover from some difficulty that she had. Spent some time in the hospital, and I just wanted to tell my audience about that. Her name is Mary, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to think about her and send her your best thoughts and wishes and prayers. And Joan, we know that she'll will help her.
Well, thank you, Jim. Yeah, no, she can use all the good thoughts that people can send to her. That would be great.
And so we got something under a billion people doing that right now, Joan.
That's great.
All across planet Earth, and even a few people in outer space. Joan, the news on employment is not so good, but I'm going to let you tell us what the news is, and then I'm going to put it in perspective. Go ahead.
Oh, you get to put it in perspective. Okay.
Well, then we can flip it around.
It's okay. It's all right. I'll do the easy part. Well, we're losing more jobs. We say in the Kiplinger letter, 20,000 net jobs lost, you know, as the economy is slumping. And the total since the beginning of the year, we're putting it over 250,000. And we think these jobs won't come back.
Wow. Why is that?
Well,
I don't know if we say why. Yeah, but different jobs will replace them.
Different jobs will replace them.
Jobs that were on the way out anyway, probably.
Well, that probably, yes.
Because see, here's what happens, Joan. As you know, a lot of people have had jobs that were 20th century jobs.
Yes. Oh, well, that's certainly true. Yeah.
And folks, Joan, when I give my speeches, I remind my audience that 96.75% of everything that we learned in the 20th century. And most of that's becoming obsolete.
Yep.
Almost all of it's becoming obsolete at light speed. And so if you're doing a job that's a 20th century job and there's no element of what you're doing, it looks like anything 21st century, well, you know, you're a dinosaur waiting to become extinct.
You know, my dad spent a lot of money on my college education. He would not want to hear this.
He would not
at all.
Well, but Joan, you're morphing. I mean, I know how you're doing your job. You guys are more. Look at how Kiplinger has assumed its position in the online world. I mean, you guys have.
That's a great example. Journalism is a perfect example of how I was trained a certain way, and journalism has changed just so much since I started working over 20 years ago. It's incredible.
Well, I mean, your company. I can remember, Joan, when your company, admittedly, by you know. Your president Knight was on the show. The president emeritus, Mr. Austin Kiplinger, has been on the show. Both of them admitted. In fact, some of the other management on the show have admitted that you know you guys were back 6, 8, 7 years ago. You were struggling to get your company moved over to the online world as the entire publishing industry has been.
That's true. Everybody was kind of groping in the dark to figure what the paradigm was for success. And I think people, and I'd like to think Kipling is one of the companies that has finally figured that out, but it took everybody a long time of trial and error to kind of break through.
But there was nothing unique about your struggle.
Right.
You guys weren't you weren't dumber than anybody else.
I
was interviewing other publishing companies, not even just publishing companies, other companies who were having the same challenges. And folks, just in case you thought I wouldn't be able to bring this back to our original point, you are today, Joan, your company has a different profile for new employees than you had 10 years ago.
That's right.
And any employee that you have now, that Kiplinger, I know, is too nice to let go because they don't have 21st century skills, when they leave your company, you won't be replacing them.
That makes sense, sure.
And that's what you're reporting this week.
Right, right, right.
And this is happening all the time.
Yeah.
And so which brings me to my perspective that I talked about a minute ago. You saying we've lost 250,000 jobs, a lot of those jobs won't be replaced. Joan, most of those are 20th century jobs, and in the 21st century, here's the reality, we don't have enough people to fill the jobs. Even though we lost 250,000 jobs, there are maybe as many as 2 million jobs that can't be filled in the United States because we can't find the right people.
That's why companies are clamoring for those H-1B visas to bring skilled, highly, highly skilled workers over here to fill those jobs.
And it scares me, though, also, Joan, to think that we're not producing the students today to fill those jobs.
That's right.
You know,
when you
look at the dropout rate, the folks who don't graduate, the percentages of people in the United States, Joan, I believe the national average is like 25% of ninth graders don't graduate.
Wow, that's huge.
How can that be in the 25th? And of course, as you know, in some communities, it's like 40%. I saw the other day, I think it was, I'm not going to say because I don't remember exactly. I think I know which city it was, but it was one major city, 40% of the ninth graders don't graduate. Now, Joan, there's no way the United States can be competitive in a global marketplace with those kinds of lack of performance.
Right.
And so, Joan, I'm going to propose this. I'm going to make this prediction.
Okay. Let me get my pen. Hold on.
I'm going to predict that over the next 5 years, we're not going to have a problem with the economy for the economy's sake. We're going to have a problem in the economy because we can't find enough people to work.
Oh, interesting.
Our economy's going to be held back because we don't have enough people to work. That's my prediction. 20 after. We've never had that happen before in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sunshine came softly through my...
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and all the different ways you can listen, including the time machine that will let you go back into our website and find interviews that we've conducted over the last, about 8 or 9 years now, since 99. We've got all those, thousands of those. Hundreds of Brain Trust members are there. Thousands of articles that we've written, I and my Brain Trust members. And you can check out our blog there, which we update every weekday. You can check out our newsletter. You can subscribe to it there. And also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, that we can get small business answers now. And that's all there for you. No barriers to entry. If you can come in, if you can find us, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Joan, we're talking about, Joan Price is with us, folks, and we're talking about the job situation as currently and in the future. And, you know, your coverage, Joan, of the job situation tracks excellently, perfectly, with the other surveys that I do here. In fact, this week, I reported along with Sam Norwood, I should say, reported on the show what his 600 or 700 partners who are running businesses across America are reporting on employment. And it's a sideways report, meaning they're not hiring, they're not really laying off.
It's just sort of status quo.
Yeah. And I consider 250,000 jobs, Joan, in an economy where you got 150 million people working, 250,000 jobs over four or five months. That's not a big hit.
No.
In fact, unemployment is still, 5.1 or something like that, which is almost full unemployment. But here's the big question, Joan. As the economy picks up, what's Kiplinger think is going to happen?
Well, if the economy picks up, we're going to get new jobs. It won't be the same jobs coming back, as we pointed out. A lot of those jobs are gone. But we will get new jobs. And then it's interesting, we're asking not just if jobs are going to come back, which we answer yes, but will these be, quote, good jobs, unquote? Mm-hmm. And we're saying they will be good jobs and, you know, highly skilled. Consulting, accounting, engineering, healthcare, education, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to, Joan, we're going to have people who are capable of thinking, not just doing.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to have, we're in the information age. We're in the digital age. We have to have people who are capable of abstract thought, who are capable of turning over not a project where they lift things and stack things, but where they contemplate, you know, how can we lift this and stack this better, and those are 21st century jobs, so therefore I come back to my critique of the U.S. education system. I mean, I know we're graduating a lot of folks who are smart enough to do the 21st century jobs, but it really bothers me, it really upsets me, Joan, when I think of the people who are being wasted because we didn't do what needed to be done to get them educated. I mean, I don't know if 100% graduation of high school students is possible, but surely 75% is not acceptable.
Well, that's true. And you also have the ongoing problem of people who are trained for certain jobs. You know, auto workers are the perfect example, that they were trained for a good job and worked there for maybe 25 years and then lost it, and they're not trained to do anything else.
Yep. You know, I love telling this story, and you may have heard me say this before, about the paper mill plant manager. He actually built the plant. That was what he did. He built plants for this company. And then he ran it for a year or so, and then he moved on and built another one. And I asked him one time, I said, tell me how many of your employees use technology in the direct performance of their work. He said 100%.
Wow.
Paper mill workers.
Yep.
100% use technology.
Sure.
And I said, how many employees do you have in this plant? He said, half as many as the plant I built 10 years ago.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Same plant. He said 400 employees. He said 10 years ago, this same plant required 800.
Gee.
Now, see, that's the kind of concentration that's happening because of technology.
Right.
And so if you want to get one of those good jobs, as Kiplinger calls it, you better be able to use a computer to some degree.
Exactly.
You know, my son is a police officer.
Right.
You should see the technology he uses when he's doing his job.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he's got a laptop in his car sitting right there. It's in front of his radio. You know, he's got a laptop. If he pulls you over, he knows more about you than your mother knows about you.
Oh, gee.
You know, I mean, when he pulls you over, he already knows who you are, whether you have any priors or whatever. I mean, when these guys pull you up, they know a lot of stuff, and you've got to be able to use this kind of stuff. My daughter is a nurse. She's charting online like crazy.
Yeah, and healthcare is interesting because I think that was one of the last areas to really go high tech. I can remember just a few years ago, hospitalizations where everything was paper. Finally, things are going online now, but it's been a slow process for the healthcare industry.
Not to beat them up, but the doctors have been one of the reasons for that.
Yes, that's true.
Because they don't like charting online. Well, they don't like electronic charting, and it's understandable. I mean, they've been writing it out all these years, and it's a paradigm shift for them.
Right.
But they're going to be drug kicking and screaming into the 21st century. It's just going to happen. And we got a lot more to talk about with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Right after these messages, here's Dire Straits to take us out. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Oh, business is Bad Boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back, 34 After. That's a little ZZ Top in the background there. Good band, a little band from Texas. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're here, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're awfully glad that Joan is here. Joan, on the bottom of page one on the Kiplinger letter, by the way, folks, Joan and I work off of the Kiplinger letter, the flagship letter that Kiplinger has been producing since 1923. That's an incredible family business story.
Before even
that.
You.
Coming up on 85 years. I was an original, a founding subscriber, Joan, to that. on the bottom of page one there,
yeah.
I just got to say this because this is brilliant reporting, Joan, as far as I'm concerned.
Is it now?
Here's what Kiplinger says. It says, blaming trade packs for lost jobs misses the mark. Closing trade pass won't help. Opening routes to training will. And what you guys have lurched uncontrollably to the truth, Joan,
mm-hmm.
because trade doesn't hurt economies. It helps economies.
Right.
And the point that I think that there's a statistic that proves your opening line there, blaming trade packs misses the mark. The number one country for lost jobs, percentage-wise and total number, in the last 5 years is China, not the United States.
Okay.
China has lost more jobs, more manufacturing jobs, than any other country on planet Earth, much
That's
more
amazing.
Than America. It
That's
is amazing.
Just amazing. No,
when I ask audiences that, when I speak, they never get that. China
right.
has lost more jobs by an incredible number and percentage-wise, and there's only one reason why they've lost those jobs, because of technology. Because of what I said a minute ago about the paper mill.
Right.
So, but do we get mad at technology? Should we just not have technology? No. We just have to change the way we train our people and the way we think about how we work.
Right.
And Joan, that's no different from 100 years ago. It's just happening faster. That's what's got everybody so agitated. It's not that change is any different from 100 years ago. It's just that it's happening at a higher velocity.
Exactly, right.
And that's what's making everybody
sense.
So jumpy.
And
making Nancy Pelosi not support Uribe in the Columbia Free Trade Agreement. So you'll be glad to know that's all I'm going to say about that, Joan. I'm through with that one.
Wow.
Anyway,
sure now.
Let's
okay.
move over. Yeah, let's move over and talk about... Now, this is an interesting, really interesting, Joan. What you guys are saying the Fed is going to have to start focusing on.
Well, we don't say they're going to have to, that they will start
yeah.
focusing on inflation, because you know me, I've got my little bugaboos that I'm scared of stagflation because I grew up with it. Stagnant economy plus inflation, which aren't supposed to go together, but sometimes they do.
You were marked in the 70s, weren't you?
You bet. Oh, boy,
You were marked by stagflation, and you've
right,
never gotten
right.
over it. Well, here's the interesting thing, Joan. Over the last 12 months... we've been watching this, you know, those of us who don't have a life have been watching the European Union central banks and the U.S. central bank. And the European Union central banks have been holding interest rates up. And when we could have used a little help from the dollar standpoint, they've been holding their interest rates up because they're in their mind, they were more concerned with inflation than they were in bolstering the economy.
Right.
And see, Europe is kind of okay with 1% growth. In the United States, that's not acceptable to us.
Well,
so,
gosh, no.
Fearing that we were going to go into a recession, our central bank, lowered rates to try to in favor of the economy, and told told inflation to take the hindmost. So now that it's starting to look like the economy is going to be okay if the government doesn't screw it up, they can, now we're back to what you guys are saying. They can start focusing on inflation.
Right.
And what that means, Joan, is don't look for any more cuts in the interest rates.
Exactly. In fact, we think maybe there could be some tightening at least next year. Not this year, we don't think, but maybe in 2009.
And there probably should be. Folks, I know that's blasphemy for me to say that. You know how I thought, you know, back when we had an ear in the, we actually had an ear in the Federal Open Market Committee. One of our brain trust members was a member of the Open Market Committee. And I actually used to jawbone him, you know, Bob McTeer, about, you know, get rates down, et cetera, et cetera. But, folks, we got to be reasonable about this. We got to be logical. Joan, you're our currency, you know, expert. We got to make sure that we don't do things to hurt the overall economy.
You need to go shopping for a currency expert, I think.
Quick break, ladies and gentlemen. 20 till. Joan Pride, you know her, you love her. She and I will be right back after these messages. Here's Robert Cray to take us out. You're not sitting there alone. Welcome back. What is that? Top Gun music? That's Top Gun music in it. Yeah. Lover Boy, I think. I think that's who that is. 17 Till, welcome back. It's pretty good rock and roll stuff. We're bringing this back and bringing this back to our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And that music is from the soundtrack of my life. And Joan, sometimes we go really way back into the Wayback Machine, don't we?
Yes, we always seem to.
And you love that too. We haven't gone back into the Wayback Machine. We'll have to make sure we get some Wayback stuff for you before you go.
That's fine.
Joan, folks, I want to point out how you can find Joan and all the folks there at Kiplinger. They've got an outstanding website, kiplinger.com, KIPLINGER. And I really encourage you to check it out. Very useful stuff. A lot of free stuff there. But if you want to know more, if you'd like to go back and find out more about some of the research they do, you'd like to read a little bit more about some of these snippets that they offer in the letter and on the website, all you got to do is subscribe to their publications, which includes the letter, the Kiplinger letter, which, Joan, this September we'll be celebrating the 85th anniversary.
That's right.
We'll be doing that right here on the show. And then, and of course, they've got the biweeklies, the California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and then there's is it biofuels or alternative fuels?
Biofuels, yes.
Biofuels. You guys are going to have to change the name of that, Joan.
Oh, you think?
Well,
okay.
Yeah, because, see, I personally think biofuels is going to be short-lived.
Interesting.
I think you're going to need to tell Nat. I think he needs to rename it alternative fuels.
Oh, okay.
See, that way it encompasses hydrogen.
I'll tell him you said that.
That surprises me because you guys reported hydrogen energy before anybody did.
Well, that's true. We did. Yeah.
You guys reported all these other alternatives before anybody. Nobody has reported on alternative fuels more than Kiplinger has.
Right.
I've been proud of you guys for that over
the
years.
Oh, thank you.
Tell Knight what I said.
I'm
sure he'll make haste in changing that just because I said so.
That's right.
And, of course, there's that magazine thing, Joan.
Absolutely. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And the toll-free number, please.
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Be sure to ask them for the 30-day free trial.
That's right.
Joan, health care. Talk to us about health care.
Well,
especially what's going on in Massachusetts.
That's right. And, you know, Massachusetts overall hauled its health care system. And we're saying that more than half of the state's uninsured are now covered by this plan. You know, Massachusetts has what is essentially a universal health care plan to
Mitt
try
Romney,
to cover everyone.
Mitt Romney initiated that before he
That's
left
right, ironically enough,
government.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And now that's the good news. The bad news is the costs are higher than anticipated, which doesn't really surprise me, I think. And now they have to find savings and figure out how to make up that deficit.
Would you like for me to explain to you how all that happened?
I think you're going to anyway.
Mitt Romney came up with this idea. He got the insurance companies, he got the government to get involved, the federal government got involved, and he had the idea. What he found out was, he found out what that that a lot of people who were uninsured in Massachusetts could afford insurance. They just weren't buying it because they were buying beer and pizza instead, these young people, and they were just becoming wards of the state when they needed health care.
Right, right.
So the government was paying for a lot of health care that they shouldn't have been paying for.
Exactly.
So I'll make the long story less long, and I heard him give this speech where he just defined this thing. It would have worked fine, except at the end, the legislature would not pull out all of the mandates that you tried to pull out.
Okay.
And mandates like in some of these states, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm way beyond childbearing ages, child producing ages, way beyond that, and on many, many levels. And Joan, if I lived in New York, for example, I would have to have insurance. Part of my insurance coverage would have to include in vitro fertilization.
No kidding.
Yeah. And,
wow.
And they've got these kinds of stupid mandates. And a lot of states, Massachusetts is one of them, the legislature, in order to hold the cost down, Joe, so that would the finances would work, he had to get rid of these mandates.
Oh.
And the legislature wouldn't get rid of them. And so they put them back into this plan. They put old shoes on a new suit. And now what did you just say a minute ago? It won't pay for itself.
Exactly. Costs are higher than anticipated.
And Mitt Romney predicted that when he did this thing. He told him that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, Joan, that's a big mess. We talked earlier about my daughter being a nurse who's charting online. You guys point out that there's momentum building for electronic medical record keeping.
That's right. We're saying Congress might offer federal grants to help facilities buy the equipment that they would need to set this up.
They might have to get some federal guidos to make the doctors do it, too.
Right, right. Exactly.
that's
but we say cost savings could be huge. We're saying possibly $77 billion a year. Wow.
Right. What's important to me about this, Joan, is this is another element of market-based medical innovation.
Right.
That won't happen if we have government-run health care. These kind of innovations, there's 3/4 of a page, folks, of information here that Kiplinger reports on today that are mostly, they either report how the government screwed things up or how the marketplace is innovating to make things better.
Right.
If we have universal health care, single-payer, government-run health care, I'm telling you, we will be in big trouble. This is Jim Blassingame, not Kiplinger, not Joan Pride. This is me saying this. We will be in big trouble. We've got to focus on market-based solutions that are portable, that people can take with them. That's the 21st century way. We got to get away from our corporations providing health care, certainly away from the government providing it. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, quickly at the top of the page there, the gasoline issue is getting out of hand.
Yeah, I know.
$3.50 or so. $123 a barrel yesterday.
I saw a headline saying maybe $150 a barrel.
Well, they're talking
long.
About that, where it may be headed. Joan, let me tell you something, though. I still believe we're in a bubble. I believe that this is a commodities bubble.
Yeah.
I've never seen a commodities bubble in my lifetime, that I remembered anyway. We got gold coming down, Joan. So this is not an inflationary situation.
Right.
Petroleum has unique issues to it, supply and demand issues, but I believe that there's speculation going on. I think the oil thing is going to turn out like the dot-coms did. I think there's a greater fool stuff thing going on right now, and I wouldn't be surprised within a year if we don't see this bubble bursting.
One would hope.
instead of going the other way.
Wow.
I'm going to bet on the pullback more than I'm going to bet on it going. I'm not saying it's not going to go higher.
Barring any unforeseen calamities.
I'm not saying it's not going to go higher. I don't think it's going to stay higher.
Because the fundamentals don't support it. It's so much of it is speculation.
The fundamentals probably do support $85,
really?
$90 a barrel.
Yeah, but not $150.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Right. And there'd be a lot of things that would mess that up. But it is having an impact, Joan, on automobile dealerships. They're having trouble selling their trucks. I've been in dealerships this week, and they're telling me that the trucks and the SUVs are just like, you know, just like a millstone around their necks.
Well, if you need an SUV for your business that used solely for business, go buy it now because you've got a great deal in 2008 on tax breaks.
With certain vehicles. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, they have to be over, it's called a loaded gross vehicle weight rating, over 6,000 pounds. And the manufacturer can tell you, you know, whether that's true for the model you're looking at or not. But you don't just get the first year expensing, you also get this bonus depreciation that Congress approved. So you're looking at possibly, and plus regular depreciation. So you pile all that up together, and you get well over 50% deducted this year,
right,
on that.
But
maybe
6,000 folks, 6,000 is a pretty big SUV.
Right.
Or a van or something like that. These are vehicles that are used for work, not to transport the CEO around.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Did you do the math on that? I mean, it's pretty significant.
Well, you get the first year write off. The special is called Section 179, up to $25,000,
mm-hmm.
And then you get 50. You take that off, and then you're left with whatever your the rest of that is. You take from that, you get 50% bonus depreciation. You can depreciate right away, immediately. It's another first-year write-off, 50% of the remainder. And when you've done that, then you get to take 20% as regular depreciation of the remainder of that. So just using an example, on a $50,000 vehicle, you're looking at a write-off of $40,000.
Potentially, yep.
You have to buy it and place it in service this year.
But there are a lot of people out there, Joan, who use specialty vans, who can order specialty vans.
Yes.
That have, you know, certain kinds of applications on them. They have lift gates. They've got certain types of wheels and tires and transmissions and different kinds of configuration. They have them customized and tricked out for their own uses. And it doesn't take much to get to 6,000 pounds. So, folks, this is all part of this one Section 179.
Yeah, I say SUVs, but you're right. It does apply to vans and other types of vehicles, and certainly heavy pickups as well.
Right. Probably more for vans and heavy pickups than SUVs,
right,
than anything. Joan, quickly, let's move over. New York is working on what they call an Amazon tax. They're wanting to tax sellers online of people who are connected in any way to New York State.
Yeah, and that's coming soon. It's supposed to take effect June 1st. But I think there could be some legal action here that might stop it.
This is the camel's nose under the tent, ladies and gentlemen. If this passes and it becomes something of something could become national, that means anybody who sells on eBay or anything, all our e-commerce sites, we could be subject to having to know what 75 different tax jurisdictions, how they want us to send them their sales tax.
But this is going to be a huge court fight.
It could be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare for the internet use. It'll be a big problem.
Yes.
And I hope it fails. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. And
sounds
be
good.
Sure to tell your mother that we're all thinking about her.
She'll be thrilled. I will
Mary,
tell her. Thank you.
Mary, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
is her name. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.